4 in 10 people believe in ghosts. Over a third of people believe intelligent life exists outside of Earth. 43% of people believe demons exist. There are unexplained phenomena happening daily around the globe, and we are here to talk about it. Your portal into UFOs, paranormal, cryptids, the supernatural, the mysterious, the unknown. This is Beyond the Radar, and this is your host, humanoid Tom Kaway.
Welcome everyone back to another episode of Beyond the Radar, your paranormal news program. We are broadcasting live on the United Public Radio Network and the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, 105.3 FM on the Gulf Coast and 107.7 in New Orleans. Or streaming, of course, from the UPRN Facebook page or YouTube page, and of course, Beyond the Radar's Facebook and YouTube page. We are also on Roku TV. Check out our archives there as well. Or subscribe to Beyond the Radar's podcast on Spotify for past shows. And today we have a wonderful show for everyone today. I am so excited to get into this. Big news has dropped from AARO, or the All Anomalous Research Organization, controlled by, you know, the United States government. And on it, some very, very big things have come out. And for us and for you, my loyal listeners, my true, you know, no bullshit thinking Americans, we have a lot of things to go over, because a lot of this just doesn't sit right with myself. It doesn't sit right with everyone else. And there's a lot of things going on that we need to talk about, because listen, I'm a smoke and fire kind of guy. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And there's a lot of smoke here. And they're trying to pull the wool over our eyes, just like they do on everything else. What we're eating in today's food, you know, vaccines, you name it. They're trying to pull the wool over our eyes because they believe we are stupid. So we are not stupid. Collectively, we can really affect change. And I'm here to educate the masses, as you would, and to open up this document, take a deep dive, and tell you, my loyal listener, my smart thinking American, what this all means. So without further ado, let's jump into this document. Okay. So, real quick, the United States government, the Department of Defense, they thought we are unintelligent. I should say they thought they could bury this. They thought that we could just, they could just leak this document wherever they are. And we aren't going to do anything about it, basically. We aren't going to do anything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't care. We don't care. Well, the problem is nowadays has increased the platform tremendously, and we are able to talk to you directly here from wherever I am to wherever your listening ears are, and get a conversation started about what's really going on when it comes to paranormal research and UAPs, UFOs, and that sort of thing. There, if many of you haven't seen, Tucker Carlson was on the Joe Rogan podcast, and this is where a lot of this stuff came to light. Real quick, a senior official had texted Tucker before he went on and said things that he was sworn to secrecy, things that he had been monitored for his whole, you know, professional military career for, are now being exposed. Theories and research of human consciousness anomalies, which we'll catch on to later here. UAPs, UAP retrieval programs, a lot of stuff that was told to us that doesn't exist. Well, it just got declassified and dumped last month. So let's get into a little bit of this. First thing that I wanted to mention to everyone is, you know, I might be throwing around some larger words and larger program words. So they do have some abbreviations. So if I talk about AWSAP, AWSAP is the Advanced Aerospace Weapon System Application Program. If I talk about ATIP, that is the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. And you, of course, have the DIA, which is the Defense Intelligence Agency. So first things first, they dumped this report out onto us and all a whole bunch, you know, 50, 60 page documents about nothing, basically. They throw this all out there to tell you, oh, these don't exist. We haven't found any evidence of UFOs. We haven't found any evidence of crash retrieval and non-human biologics and things like that. Well, the base person is going to look at that and argue with you, me, and whomever that, oh, well, see, there's nothing. They don't have any evidence. Well, we're the read the pages kind of people who believe in this stuff. We read every single thing that comes out. And I am here to do that for all of you. So I have certain sections of this that I highlighted that I want to bring to you. So if people tell you, if the news, if the media outlets tell you, loyal listener, hey, there is nothing, they just declassified this, I'm going to give you some ammo for to back up when you say, oh, well, that might have been the conclusion, but here's what it really said. So a lot of this is talking about our ATIP and ALSAP. Now, real quick, at the discretion, and I'm going to read this, this is a quote. At the discretion of the Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, in the Defense Appropriations Acts of fiscal years 2008 to 2010, $22 million was given to the DIA, or the Defense Intelligence Agency, to access long-term and over-the-horizon foreign air advanced aerospace threats to the United States. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't mean just, you know, Russian planes or Soviet planes, you know, Chinese planes, things like that. This means every single thing in the skies. So they were granted $22 million to acknowledge this. They were given $22 million and a letter from Senator Harry Reid, who was one of us. He was in Congress, but he did believe in the UFO, in the UFO agenda and the alien agenda. He wrote a letter. This is another quote, requesting that ATIP or ALSAP could be made a DOD or Department of Defense special access program. And Deputy Secretary Lynn declined to do so based on the recommendation of then Undersecretary of Defense of Intelligence James R. Clapper Jr. that such a designation was not qualified to be. So, what does that mean? That means that Harry Reid had petitioned, who is one of us, he had petitioned before this program started that there needs to be a program. You got to start from the foundation. He said there should be a program. They, Clapper told Lynn that, no, it doesn't need to be a program. We're not going to do this, and called it an ET topic and also ET visitations. And those are in quotes in this. If now you are destroying that right off the rip, right? You are absolutely destroying, because when you theorize and make light and you delegitimize all of this, you are making light of the fact that there is something that our United States government thought that $22 million should go to study. I don't know. That seems awfully odd that you would stop it, especially in this country, especially when we have the most amount of money going to defense, and there is absolutely every single thing that we ever could need in our defense spending go and gets funded for. This isn't. That's really odd to me. Really, really odd. ALTIP and or ALSAP and ATIP, they contract with a private sector organization. And this is Bigelow's organizations out in Nevada, also a friend of Harry Reid. They contracted with the private sector organization and produced exploratory papers addressing 12 scientific areas tasked in the contract's statement of work. These scientific papers never were thoroughly reviewed. Interesting. Very, very interesting, everyone. You have scientific areas and new scientific areas to be studied, and you don't feel the need to go ahead and have them peer reviewed, which also, everyone, that delegitimizes this. This makes this obsolete. it means it never was fully worked on. It means it was never fully accomplished. And you can always have that hanging over the head of this project. That's something that we need to keep in the mind for later things coming on. So when you talk about ATIP, when you talk about all of this stuff going on, you should know from the beginning that the United States government did not take it seriously when they really should. And we're going to get into these segments here. Who remembers Project Blue Book? A lot of you, right? And before I get into it, please, our free text board, text in 484-283-5328. And of course, comment on our lovely streaming channels. Please, we'd love to have you part of this conversation. And the text board has been lighting up in previous episode, last episode, actually. So please continue it going. So segment two is Project Blue Book. Now, we all remember Project Blue Book, and there's quite a good show on it. They did a very good job on the History Channel a few years ago, Project Blue Book. It was a little bit glazed over and rushed and obviously romanticized like Hollywood does, and that's totally fine because they have to make a show. But the real Project Blue Book apparently determined that no UFO reported, investigated, and evaluated by the United States Air Force demonstrated any kind of threat to national security. There was no evidence submitted to or discovered by the USAF that sightings represented a technological development or principles beyond the range of then present knowledge. That says two things to me, America. That says two things to me. That says that the United States did not find a threat in these UFO or in the typical UFO fashion, unidentified flying object, didn't find any threat to national security, and that they found there was nothing beyond the present day scientific knowledge. Well, whose scientific knowledge? Whose scientific knowledge is this? My scientific knowledge of today completely differs from a scientist. Or are you talking about something in the published works department? Because let's face it, you're working on these crazy things every day. There's things that you have that we have no idea about. So when you talk about present day scientific knowledge, of course that's a blanket answer. That's a cop-out answer, because what really you have knowledge of is not being put out there. So when that's not put out there, of course it's easy to say then scientific knowledge. Real weak back out. So they also said that there was no evidence indicating that the sightings categorized as unidentified are extraterrestrial vehicles. And then it leaves just a smidge of a window open in this last quoted sentence. Of the 12,618 sightings in Project Blue Book's holdings, 701 were characterized as unidentified and never solved. In the true traditional way, everyone, of UFOs being unidentified flying objects, those 701, okay, those 701, about 5%, were never, ever figured out. This isn't one, this isn't 10, this isn't even 100. This is 701 over those years. I know for a fact that number is higher. I know for a fact. I can't prove it, but I know for a fact. And I'll get into a story real quick. One of my coworkers, their father was in the military, and they were in the military during the late 60s, early 70s, when Project Blue Book was going on. And when Project Blue Book was going on, he was a firefighter, and he was in Guam. He told us, this was on our UFOs Over PA meetup group, he came on to tell his story. He told us, I saw things in the Caribbean weekly, some semi-monthly, that he couldn't explain, that were out of the realm of scientific possibility that he had currently, and he had in his knowledge bank. Now you're in Guam, you're in the Caribbean, you have all of this stuff going on. He is in the forefront of everything scientifically and aerospace. And these things weren't in the sky. He was talking about them coming from under the water. So if you have these things coming under the water, And Karen Ann, yes, lots coming on Kona project, Kona Blue project. I have that coming up. You're beating me to it, but we got a lot to discuss, Karen. So, anyway, he said these things were under the water. These things were flying under the water, coming up out of the water, going the same speed underwater as they were above water. As human physics knows, that's almost impossible without thrust. So what's going on with that? He, and this is a quote from him, he told us, I was on base when Project Blue Book ended. When Project Blue Book ended, they ripped down all of the signs, all of the memorabilia, all of the flyers, what have you. They ripped them up and they threw them away and said, we are never talking about Project Blue Book again. So, what does that tell you? If there was really nothing to be found, if everything was misidentification, misclassification, people misunderstanding what they're seeing, atmospheric phenomenon, why? Why don't you just say that? No, there's nothing going on. Everything's fine. We couldn't find anything. Here's all of our reports. No, you classified that document. You classified it for 40, 50 years before you let anybody see it. And then you redact everything that could be something that doesn't fit your agenda. Definitely odd. Definitely odd, America. So, moving forward from this, we also break into high-level discussions of the CIA. High-level discussions of the CIA of UFOs, 1964. CIA had a busy year in 64, I'm telling you. Oops, I didn't say that. I didn't say that about, you know, JFK. I didn't say that. So, CIA, this is a quote, following high-level White House discussions on what to do if an alien intelligence was discovered or there was a new outbreak of UFO sightings, DCI John McCone tasked the CIA to update its evaluation of UFOs. The CIA's scientific division officially acquired UFO sighting case information from the director of the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomenon, NICAP, which was a private organization founded in 1956. I don't have my thing on me. I don't have my encyclopedia brain, but 1956 certainly sounds a lot closer to Roswell, doesn't it? Aerial phenomena, that word is being brought up a lot now. What do you mean we didn't hear it for 70 years? Really odd. So, the results of the CIA evaluation, a different man, Donald Chamberlain, the assistant director, informed McCone that little had changed since the early 1950s, and there was still no evidence UFOs were a threat to the security of the United States, and that they were of foreign origin. Now, if you're working with them, of course they're not a threat. You're not giving an answer to the question. If somebody comes up to you and asks you, would you like a glass of orange juice? And you tell them it's sunny in 73, you gave them an answer, but it's not a legit answer. It's not even the right question. This is why I'm telling you folks, I'm here to read for you. I'm here to give this to you. What they're putting in here is a bunch of words because they don't think that we will go through and we will investigate on our own and we will read the fine print. I'm here to do that, America. This is what you got from me. This is Beyond the Radar. We're not going to hold pat on anything. We are here to discuss everything that's out of the range, that's beyond the radar. That's what we do. So moving on from the CIA, we need to talk about the nexus and proponents of the United States' government, the UAP reverse engineering allegation. They put the word allegation in here. They didn't put the word program. Keep that in mind first. Keep that in mind first that this is an allegation and not a program. Because what I'm about to read to you people certainly sounds like a program to me. So, of course, they come out with denial first. The AARO found no empirical evidence that any UAP investigatory effort since 1945, foreign, domestic, government, private, or academic, has ever uncovered viable information regarding the recovery or existence of extraterrestrial being or craft. Although, AARO continues to conduct interviews and research programs to pursue investigatory leads, AARO's work has resulted in disproving the majority of these claims using verifiable information made within those claims. So rather than investigating, they are using your own words against you. Almost like a court, almost like a witch trial. They're getting people to redact on their own thing. None of that is mentioned in here, but they're getting that. How do you think they got that? How do you think throughout all this time when people are struggling to make a buck and want to keep their job that they're telling them you should come back on what you said? Really odd, isn't it? Well, there was a few people that were investigated here. And I want to read you the findings of these interviews, okay? The AARO interviewed numerous people, programs, and leads. It has determined that modern allegations that the United States government is hiding off-world technology and beings largely originate from the same group of individuals who have ties to the canceled ALSAP ATIP program and a private sector's organization's paranormal research efforts. These individuals have worked with each other consistently in various UAP-related efforts. So they're trying to classify, they're trying to shorten up everybody. They're trying to shorten up this group of, oh, it's only these people who are setting the flag for everybody. Well, props to them, because there are these things going on. You have government research documents that talk about it that we're going to get to here in a little bit. Persons, 1 to 5, and interviewees, number 1, number 3, number 9, number 12, number 13, and number 14, repeatedly voiced these claims in various public and private venues, and they have petitioned Congress in various capacities on UAP issues. They have not provided any empirical evidence of their claims to the AARO. Of course not. If you have the documents and you have the biologics and you have the technology and you have the craft and they don't, of course it's easy to say that they don't have any evidence because you're holding all of the evidence. Like, come on, how crazy is this? You have the intestinal fortitude to denigrate these people when you're holding the evidence. You are really, really stringing along America. It's very, very sad. Persons 1 and 3 in interviews 1, 3, and 12 were involved in the paranormal research conducted under ALSAP/ATIP. Now, paranormal research and UAPs. Let me touch on that for a little bit. They really are under the same umbrella. I get that. But you don't really see too much when it comes to the spiritual world, ghosts and that sort of phenomena, to UAPs and extraterrestrials. You don't really see too much overlap in that, except for one place. And you know what place I'm talking about. Skinwalker Ranch. Skinwalker Ranch was owned, might still be owned, I'm not quite sure, but was once owned by Robert Bigelow, whose name was mentioned in this a few minutes ago when I read it. His property at Skinwalker Ranch has had various paranormal activity, UAP activity, unidentified aerial phenomenon, and human consciousness anomalies. Human consciousness anomalies is a big word to say remote viewing, which is astral projection in another form, which is leaving your body and seeing things around you in another place. Some claim to have that skill, and I have no reason not to believe them. I wish I did. It'd be a wonderful trick to use, but I don't have that. I have to take their word for it. And with their word for it comes trust. And you know what builds trust? When multiple people say the same thing, not one person saying it all. I've talked to a number of people who can remote view. I've interviewed them. I put them on the spot. I gave them tests. And they've all passed. I can't talk about anything other than Mott. But for me, I absolutely believe it's true. Because I got somebody telling me down to the wall and the blind and you know, the covers on the windows, the blinds, what color they are, what color my desk was, what the nearest pen to me, what color that was. It's true. These people can do that. I've seen it firsthand. Maybe not all of them, but the ones I've talked to can. So this experiment, which when the government was trying to create a super soldier back in Vietnam, this was also going on, which is not mentioned in here, but remote viewing and human consciousness anomalies have been around for way longer than 2008, 2009, when this is going. They would use these remote soldiers to become in tune with the jungle, basically, long story short, given massive amounts of LSD and drugs to become hyper aware to their higher self. And from that, they would use that to scan the jungles, feel the jungles, communicate, be in touch with the jungle as it was a living thing, and see where there was something that doesn't line up. And when there's something that doesn't line up, it means it's human made. So where a sniper was, you know, where an ambush was, and these people were right most of the time. There's famous stories. Please Google famous stories of remote viewing and people finding pets, people finding humans, people finding downed aircraft, you name it. Please go check it out because it is wonderful. But when you have these human consciousness anomalies, Skinwalker Ranch, paranormal, and UAP, that leads to the one question of what's going on there? It's a ranch. It's a basin. You can check it out online, Google Earth it, whatever you want. But it's really odd that all of this is happening right in a small area. When it's happening in a small area, one thing comes to my mind. I've been doing this a long time. I can try to put pieces together. Not the smartest tool in the shed, sharpest tool in the shed, or the smartest guy. So you're not gonna have to fight me on that. I'm not gonna try to make that argument. But where there's smoke, there's fire, and where all of these things converge, one word comes to my mind, and that's a portal. There has to be a portal in and around Skinwalker Ranch. The trauma of the land, whether it opened it or not. There's been many, many warring indigenous nations in that area. There's been a lot of death in that area, all throughout the West, not just there. But to me, when you have all of the different things going on, there has to be a portal and there has to be a thinning of the veil there where we can see more and we can see into another realm, basically. That has to be going on. I'm convinced about it. And then the fact that the government spent money to research it means that something's going on there, and whatever they captured, it's very interesting. So, getting back to the interview. Person 5 and interviewees 3, 9, and 14 were involved in the alleged crashed UAP materials that were provided to the U.S. Army and subsequently to the ARO for examination. Huh. So, you're denying all of this happened, but in the report, in this bullet point, page 36, you are talking about individuals and interviewees who were involved with a UAP material provided to the U.S. Army and then given to the AARO for examination. So you're telling me you don't have the material. You're telling me the material doesn't exist. And then you also say that this person, that these people were involved in a retrieval. This is what I'm talking about, America. They want you to read the bullet points. They want you to read the whole, the bottom, the conclusion, because that's kind of how we're taught to read, right? Let's find out who did it first. Right here on page 36, it tells you that individuals were involved in a crash retrieval, and it was turned over to the AARO. But everything that I've told you, even at the beginning of this paragraph, AARO has found no empirical evidence that UAP investigatory efforts since 1945 have been uncovered. I just read that. No more than 4 paragraphs now. It tells you that these people were involved in this. Very interesting. Very interesting. I am shocked that they even put that in there. We have so much more to get to, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, I'm going to take a little break. When I come back, we'll get into, you guessed it, Karen, Kona Blue and everything else. So stay tuned. You're watching Beyond the Radar on the United Public Radio Network, UFO Paranormal Radio Network, and I'll be back in a little bit, everyone. There we go. All right, everyone, I am back. Thank you for that little time to pay a little bills. So let's get back into this and let's get into Kona Blue. Let's get into what really has been going on. I just got a text on the text line. Yes, I have seen Tucker Carlson on the Joe Rogan podcast. We were talking about that a little bit ago. Thank you so much for texting in. I truly appreciate all of our loyal listeners. Let's see. Another one here. Do you believe Kona Blue, the government's version? Of course not. That's why we're going on and on about this. That's why we're going in. Another text is tell the truth to the masses. Thank you so much for your confidence. Thank you so much for the shout out. Yes, we are here to tell the truth. We are here to go over everything because we have busy lives. We have day-to-day lives in a true, trustworthy news outlet should give you everything, not just the highlights and try to sell ad space, basically is what they're doing. But you didn't hear it from me. So let's go to Kona Blue. Okay, let's go to the proposed UAP recovery and reverse engineering program. So Kona Blue, and this is a quote, everybody. Kona Blue was brought to the AARO's attention by interviewees who claimed that it was a sensitive DHS compartment to cover up the retrieval and exploitation of non-human biologics. Where, ladies and gentlemen, have we heard that before? Where have we heard non-human biologics before? This was taught, and first I heard about it, during the congressional whistleblower testimony from David Grush back last summer, actually. Oh, man, it's already going to be summer again. Whew. Time flies. But anyway, we were brought on to that. That's where the first time we heard this. So you're telling me that this report going all the way back to 2009 to 2012, I should say, is also talking about non-human biologics when we were first brought to that here. If people have a certain terminology, it's because it's thrown around, it's because it's heard, and it's because it's going on and on. That's where that term came from. I have even more faith in David Grush now, hearing this report and seeing this logics, than I even did, and I believed him already. So let's read on a little bit. Kona Blue traces its origins to the DIA-managed OSAP ATIP program. We know that. Which was funded through a special appropriation and executed by its primary contractor, a private sector organization. Cannot confirm, but this was probably Robert Bigelow's company. The Department of Intelligence Agency canceled the program in 2012 due to the lack of merit of the utility of the deliverables. So the defense agency said, we're not continuing with this. You're not giving us what we need. You're not giving us that's actually substantial. You're not giving us this that's actually UFO or what you're claiming it is. That is on one side's judgment. That is solely on the government's judgment right there. It could have been a living body and they could have told him, I don't believe this. Really disappointing in the U.S. government, who we vote, by the way, who we vote in. So, as we discussed in Section 4, which I read earlier, the official purpose of ATIP was to conduct research into 12 areas of cutting-edge science, the contractor team, and one supportive government program manager. So, this project, Kona Blue, now has a government involved, as well as the private, as well as the people who they were saying, oh, you know, these guys always talk about this kind of stuff. Let's not listen to them. So, now you have a government official in there. They conducted UAP and also paranormal research at a property owned by the private sector organization. So reading between the lines again, that's where I thought that this was Bigelow's company. So the paranormal research at the property and the UAP owned at Skinwalker Ranch was tested, was researched, was done. Now, if you've ever been on a paranormal investigation or you've watched shows or you have an interest in it, you know that they don't work on your time. So I would really be hesitant to say, oh, since nothing happened this one time, nothing would ever happen. I'm not entirely sure if that's what happened, but I'm just throwing that out there. So when the Department of Intelligence Agency canceled this program and its supporters proposed to the Department of Homeland Security that they create and fund a new version under a Special Access Program, or SAP, this proposal, which was codenamed Kona Blue, would restart UAP investigations, paranormal research, including human consciousness anomalies. We just heard that from a little bit before, right? And reverse engineering any recovered off-world spacecraft that they had hoped to acquire. This proposal gained some initial traction at DHS to the point where a PSAP, or a Prospective Special Access Program, was officially requested to stand up this program and eventually rejected by leadership for lacking merit, as demonstrated by the proposal packages and statements from the originators, Senators Lieberman and Reid, asked that the PSAP be established under the promise of additional funding. The proposed Kona Blue lines of effort closely mirrored those conducted by the private sector organization for AUTIP. So, Kona Blue, its advocates were convinced, not thought, not believed, not it's quoted in here, convinced that the United States government was hiding UAP technologies. And they believe that creating this program under the Department of Homeland Security would allow all of the technology and knowledge of these alleged programs to be moved under the Kona Blue program. So what this was essentially was to get all of that data, all of the material, all of the biologics, all of the tech, you name it, out from under the United States government and taken under the Department of Homeland Security, which would then be moved under the Kona Blue program. So they weren't trying to go do new research. They were just trying to get everything moved out from under. The program would provide security and governing structure where it could be monitored properly by congressional oversight committees. So that's fair. If you're doing work for the government, you should probably have some oversight. I don't think any one of us would have that big of an issue if there was some oversight on the committee, so long as the material was moved out from underneath. The belief was a foundation for Kona Blue and the proposal, and based on the proposal documents of several interviewees who have provided the same information to the AARO and Congress, the Oral History Initiative section of the Kona Blue program was developed. Now, this is the Oral History Initiative. I had already read through this. So what this is something that I believe is a big miss for us in the UAP and paranormal community. I really do, because this is something that would have gotten people, whether it's interviews or in an official capacity, to tell everything that they know. The problem is you could be corrupted in that if it's just oral. Now, I understand why it has to be oral, and I'll break it down for everybody here just now. It has to be oral because when you have such secrecy and redaction and black lines through all kinds of papers, I've done it. I've seen FOIA documents. I've entered my own FOIA document. This is a FOIA document. You have some redactions. So you might have the paper, you might have the document, but it's not going to be everything that you want it to be. The oral history, since you wouldn't have a black line through over somebody's mouth or tape or anything like that, you'd be able to tell them. You'd be able to get information from high level officials. Here's who these officials would have been. From an already identified, this is a quote, from an already identified calibrated, previously high placed government officials, armed services, contractors, and intelligence community individuals, the Oral History Project will include gathering of all information pertaining to the location of advanced aerospace technology and biological samples, including records, files, reports, photographs, as well as physical samples, end quote. Wow. So, if this Oral History Initiative by Kona Blue was proposed to collect the data, they wanted individuals, these high-ranking individuals, to just sit and have a conversation so we can record. When everything is done under a cover-up, you don't have that ability to record. This would be the way to put things on paper and have a foundation and a starting point of different things. Not what I think it is, not what I heard it is, but actual data from reports, files, photographs, and physical samples. And I think we know what physical samples mean. We've heard non-human biologics. It could be, I don't even know if they have skin, but skin. It could be teeth. It could be fingers. It could be, you name it. Or it could be a full living humanoid. Alien. If that sounds crazy to you, let me bring up this one story. I had an interview with a medium, psychic medium, many months ago. They were talking to me. And they were telling me with such confidence, no, I know aliens exist. I've seen them. I talked to them. And I said, oh, what do you mean? They said, well, they are just consciousness from a different realm. They talk to me. They're here on Earth. I said, what do you mean they're here on Earth? That's big news to me. What do you mean they're here on Earth? She had special friends in Florida, contractors, government contractors, who trust her. She's also one who can remote view. They told her, remote view me, because I can't tell you, but you'll see it. They're working on a project. They remote view in. And here are gray aliens, just like you see on X-Files TV, Unsolved Mystery, whatever you want, working side by side with humans. And then taking, showing them how to recreate and reverse engineer their technology. Wonderful. Groundbreaking. I was stunned. The way that it was so matter-of-factly, too. Typically, when people are lying to you, they want to tell you a story. They want you to believe they're pressing you. They're all that kind of stuff. I had none of that. This is a very trustworthy individual. So, when you have that, one has to think now, how did we get there? What are they doing? What do they care about money? Do you think they want money? If they do, would they want the U.S. dollar? Would they want a pound? Would they want a euro? Whatever it is. They wanted us. Spoke with another individual. You heard her here last week. What did she say? If you tuned in last week, you heard They wanted us, and they wanted us for science experiments, for fuel, and some of us wanted it for food. That didn't sit well with me, ladies and gentlemen, America. It didn't sit well with me at all. Our own government has given the okay to another civilization to eat us. That has a hard time sitting with me. I believe it. There has been worse things done. But man, that's pretty bad. To gain tech, we're sacrificing a few, what is it, 1,000, 100,000? Is it a yearly thing? Are we on a year-by-year basis? What's going on? So rather than dive into that whole mess, I'll keep going. Kona Blue was not reported to Congress at that time because it was never established as a SAP. Therefore, it did not meet the threshold for congressional reporting. However, Department of Homeland Security and the Department Secretary of Defense provided a congressional notification concerning the program when it was identified in the spirit of transparency. So here, I'll help you out. Don't worry about it. I'll help you out. In the spirit of transparency, what a joke, ladies and gentlemen. So we have all of these things going on with Kona Blue. We have declassified documents now. We have an amazing document list here, an oral history initiative. Do you think these high intelligence people were the first time these were contacted? No. I guarantee they were contacted plenty, and I guarantee they want to have a story to tell. But money talks. And a lot of these retired people probably have a pension. They probably have a lot of money saved up. They probably have a lot of money that should be coming to them or their families. And I guarantee you that was threatened. I absolutely guarantee that was threatened. So, this AARO, right? I know. Forgive me, another abbreviation. But the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, which was established just less than 2 years ago, July 15, 2022. The Department Secretary of Defense, in coordination with the DNI, can convey direction to the USD by renaming the AOIMSG as the AARO. So the AARO is the government's foundation, office, whatever you want to call it, to research UAPs. Very frustrating, ladies and gentlemen. Very, very frustrating. Because if you put your own thing out there, you can make your own decisions. You can tell people what it is instead of showing what it is. I have on good authority that those naval videos, the tic-tac, the ball above the water, all that kind of stuff, you know, that was on major, major news outlets and very blurry, were blurred for us. I have on good authority that all of those things are crystal clear to the government, but what they leak out to us, what they censor to us, leaves us arguing with each other, discouraging each other, and saying this isn't anything. I believe the government has to disclose to us these things, but when they put it out in such different ways, they don't have to tell us we're wrong. We do a good job of doing that to each other. I say this every podcast I get, every podcast, every radio show, everything that I'm on. We, in our, because we need to come together and only push real evidence. Now, what does real evidence mean, Tom? Well, what I mean is you can take a look at something and know if it's CGI'd. You can take a look at something and know where it was and what it was done. You have Beyond the Radar's website, where you can post your pictures, your information, your sightings. You have MUFON. You have other organizations out there where you can put this out at. And we need the credibility to be there from us, because if we can't be credible to each other, we have no shot outside. So that was my soapbox there for that. this AARO has gotten over 500 UAP reports in just 1 month, a little over a month. So from July 15th to August 30th, there are 510 UAP reports. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that every single one is a UFO, because they're not. Let's be honest. They're just not. They're not going to be. But a lot of them are. The AARO, I don't know if it was an accident. I don't know if it was on purpose. But they've let some quality video go out. Some quality video. If you want to Google AARO, go to their trackable UFO page. I'm sorry, UAP imagery. And they have just a handful on the site. The biggest one, to me, is the Middle East one, which is, I'm going to show you right now. Watch this, ladies and gentlemen. You see that going right there? Changing direction, being tracked, hovering, moving faster than any other craft in the area. Isn't that incredible? Absolutely incredible. This was caught by an MQ-9 in the Middle East. They say it's not exhibiting anomalous behavior, but it remains unidentified. I don't know about that. No propulsion. Change of direction. I can name two right there. It's a sphere, for God's sakes. Do you have any aircraft? Have you seen any aircraft like a sphere that we own? Absolutely not. But they believe us to be stupid. And that's the problem. We need to come together, ladies and gentlemen. Put things aside and tell me your UFO beliefs. Text board lighting up. That was incredible. Oh, thank you so much. I saw that before. It's completely unproven. Yes, you're right. You're right, America. You're right. It's unproven. And they don't care. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, for this last piece, when you think of UAPs, when you think of phenomenon like that, what should you think of first? For me, it would be NASA. We give all this money. We ain't going anywhere. It was the last time we've been in the moon. Have them be our conduit. I think NASA would have a little more trust in the federal government. Well, you are in luck. Because in 2023, NASA wrote a begging letter, basically. I'm going to read a little bit of it. To allow them to be the ones to study this. They ran a report. They have the most sophisticated audio technology. The most sophisticated visual technology for space. They are a wonderful resource that we should use. So this report boiled down to the overall conclusions and recommendations. And I'll read a little bit. We recommend that NASA play a prominent role in the whole of government effort to understand UAP by leveraging its extensive expertise to contribute a comprehensive evidence-based approach that is rooted in the scientific method. We specifically recommend that NASA utilize its existing and planned Earth-observing assets to probe the local environmental conditions associated with UAP that are initially detected by other means. In doing so, NASA can directly probe whether certain environmental factors are coincident with known UAP. We further recommend that NASA explore enhancing collaborations with the U.S. commercial remote sensing industry, which offer powerful constellations of high-resolution Earth-observing satellites. Wow. I think that would be fantastic, America. Are you kidding me? So when the government is saying you have ball lightning, you have swamp gas. This is just Jupiter reflecting off the underside of a plane which hit the sun in the metal fuselage and made this thing. They are looking to be the fact end all be all where, no, actually Jupiter was over here and actually that doesn't happen. I think that is fantastic. I would love to leverage NASA for this. The panel, I'll read a little more. The panel finds that the public engagement in the effort to better understand UAP will be vital. NASA, by lending its name to UAP studies, is already helping to reduce the stigma associated with reporting. Beyond this, we recommend that NASA explore the viability of developing and acquiring crowdsourcing systems such as open-source smartphone-based apps to gather imaging data and other smartphone sensor data from multiple citizen observers as part of a wider effort to systematically gather public UAP reports. I would absolutely love that. Are you kidding me? An app that would you put right up in your in the sky when you see something would go to NASA to kick off all of their efforts. NASA lending their name and smartphone-based apps and crowdsourcing systems, we would be able to actually document all of these things in real time and have a true map of where these things are going on. When you look at MUFON data, when you look at the National UFO Reporting Center, you will find that when something gets reported in a town, it's often reported multiple places. What I mean by that is if you live in this big city, let's say Los Angeles, and you see it on the suburbs and you see it a little further out, these things are high up in the sky. You're going to see this from a bunch of different towns. You find that in this data. You find that it's not a one-off. One-offs are hard to believe. They are. I'm sorry. They just are. How are you telling me that nobody was looking up in this big city? It's hard to believe. I don't care if you have data. I don't care if you have, you know, that you need, you know, when you have these things backing up and when you have the ability of 10, 15, 20, or even thousands of people saying the same thing, you completely shut down the way that it's the way that the government is. You completely shut down the secrecy and you spread light and you shine light on things that are absolutely dire to us to grow as a civilization. In conclusion, read here. In conclusion, NASA uniquely positioned to contribute to a robust and systematic approach to studying UAP and furthering its mission of advancing scientific knowledge and technical expertise and exploration. When considering the above recommendations and according to budget priorities, NASA should leverage its core capabilities and expertise to determine whether it should take a leading or supporting role in implementing a given recommendation. The positioning of NASA's role should be further situated within the context of a broader whole-of-government approach to understanding UAPs. They convinced me. They convinced me, everyone. I'll tell you that. NASA should be a part of this. They have wonderful resources. There's a lot of things that they could bring to the table. What AARO should not be is controlled by the government. Is an area where we can't report anything on our own, is an area that you need to have more oversight. That's why part of me wanted to put our sightings map on beyondtheradar.net. I'm sorry, beyondtheradar.com. Please check it out, beyondtheradarnews.com. It's, you submit your information, it'll be on the site the next day. There's no team. It's just me. You don't have to put any other information that you want. Let's just have an area where people can submit their cool stuff. Paranormal, cryptid, UAP, whatever. And start a discussion about what's really going on out there. Because obviously, look at how many, almost 100 years of cover up and denial. It's on us now, America. Let's keep this going in the right direction. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank everybody listening. Great show. Great conversations. Great texts. I appreciate the support, the comments, everything. Thank you so much. And we have been broadcasting live on the United Public Radio Network and the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, 105.3 and 107.7 FM. We've been airing live on Roku TV. You can also catch the archive there or subscribe to Beyond the Radar's podcast on Spotify for past shows. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be right back at it tomorrow, or sorry, next week. Sorry about that. And by all means, send me all your news, like us on Facebook, email, whatever it is. Send us the stories you want to hear, and we'll get to it. Have a good night, everybody.